You're listening to the inner monologue of Dim Tillard.
Who? Never heard of him.
Who's this guy?
I ain't nobody.
Now here is Dim Tillard.
Hello there.
Hello!
Hello!
Hello, hello again, everybody, and welcome to the number one most unneeded podcast, the inner monologue of Dim Tillard. Yeah, if I could do it over again, I'd probably name my podcast something simpler. But here we are. And you are you, and I am not homeless yet. I am Tim Dillard. If you've never heard of me, I just want to say congratulations and turn back now. Because once you dive into my inner monologue, there's no way out.
Get me out of here!
Actually, there is a way out. You could just hit the off button. But don't do that.
Stay here. Stay as long as you can.
For the love of God, cherish it.
Like I said, my name is Tim Dillard, and I've been a professional baseball player for the last 17 plus years. And I say 17 plus because the plus, I guess, refers to Corona season and doesn't count as a full season. So yeah, anyway, I invented this podcast. And I'd like to personally thank Sniffer Pippets and Travels with George on Instagram for letting me know just how much they were missing this podcast. So here it is, episode 11-sies, because it's been, man, maybe over a month since my last podcast episode. And I mean, the reason for that has been major computer problems and also major occupational problems, which both of these issues are still ongoing, especially since Minor League Baseball announced that it has been completely canceled for this year. And so since I'm jobless and utterly directionless at the moment, I've decided to put together a list, a comprehensive list of things that I've done for money, just in case you, my loyal few listeners, are interested in my services and possibly hiring me and giving me some of your money. So here's the things I've done for money. Number one, I can throw 88 miles per hour for money. I've done that. No, never mind. Hold on. I couldn't read it. It says 86 miles per hour. Doesn't matter. Same thing. Okay. From ages 5 to 12, I shine shoes for money and baseball cards. So there's a skill. In 2006, I drove a forklift without a proper license for cash. Yeah, nobody was hurt. In 2007, I ate a spoonful of wasabi for $175. That's actually one of the biggest accomplishments of my life. I once created radio commercials for a self-storage facility in Mississippi called Your Extra Closet. See what I did there with the voice? That's a skill. In 2010, I made $150 by eating one of the hottest peppers in the world. My shortstop at the time, Luis Cruz, got the whole clubhouse involved just to see if I could do it. And I did. Spoiler alert. It was hot. 2 years ago, during the sixth inning, I ate a green, very alive stink bug while sitting in a bullpen in Memphis for $222. Thanks for the $2, Michael Brady. Great contribution there. Last year, I signed autographs before a game and got paid a $10 Taco Bell gift card. And let's be honest,
that's as good as money, sir.
So, yeah, basically, I don't have any skills and bring very little to the table. But I have a feeling about this podcast. Feels like a winner.
This idiot, you're doing it. I'm sitting on a gold mine.
And on that note, it's time for my first segment. In every episode, I share a story from my baseball career. Episode one was a curfew story from way back in 2003. And last episode was a big league story, a big league Star Wars story from 2012. And with a little more ado, this adventure will be from 2013, and it comes boxed fresh and ready to consume in a little segment I like to call
Story Time with Dim Tillard.
Listen up, this will only take a second.
The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
The year was 2013. The Super Bowl had a power outage after Destiny's Child got back together. The true story of Sharknado, was told on the big screen. The girl from Pitch Perfect sang and played with cups. The song Let It Go was unleashed on humanity. Breaking Bad and 30 Rock ended. The words selfie, FOMO, and twerk, is that right? Did I write that? Twerk were all added to the prestigious Oxford English Dictionary. And then there was me, much like today, an unemployed baseball player. I had just finished the 2012 season pitching in AA Huntsville for the Milwaukee Brewers. And then just like that, I couldn't find a job anywhere in the world except Mexico. Spring training 2013 led me to Campeche, Mexico, located on the Yucatan Peninsula and home of the Piratas de Campeche Baseball Club of the Mexican Summer League. Wow, that was kind of a mouthful. It was both a challenging and fascinating chapter in my life. I could talk about the Hotel Jalabuertas or watching subtitleless movies at the local cinema, Es Hollywood. I could fill you in on riding the city bus to and from the stadium, which was only $5.50 in pesos, or witnessing a post-game cockfight somewhere off the coast of Cancun. I could even tell you about Chilo. Chilo, the 6'5", 160-pound, legendary Mexican sidearm pitcher who suddenly appeared to me one day out of nowhere and was sporting a giant mustache, black sunglasses. He was dipping tobacco and smoking a cigarette and straight schooled me on the art of pitching philosophies and mechanics, who then immediately vanished. Pretty fascinating guy. But what I want to talk about today is the versatility of hot dogs. In the middle of Mexican spring training, I got off the city bus at the field just in time for breakfast. They have a cafeteria there, and so I just went and got in line and got to the front. And just like every morning, there was eggs. There's always lots of eggs, but these eggs seemed different. So I looked closely and thought, could that be cut up hot dogs in the eggs? Why, yes. Yes, it is. Never thought of that. Never thought of putting hot dogs in eggs, but lo and behold, there it was. Well, fast forward to lunch. It was a road trip. So we had a bagged lunch to go and we traveled to the destination. And just before the game starts, it was a day game. And I look in my lunch bag and no way. Is that not one, but two hot dogs for lunch? Oh man, this is great. Hot dogs for breakfast, hot dogs for lunch.
And then a sensible dinner.
I remember thinking, I could get used to this. How could this get any better? Well, there's more. I spent most of the game counting the iguanas on the outfield fence, and then we bus back to our stadium, and I'm thinking the whole time, I wonder what we're having for dinner. So I walk into the cafeteria, and I'm looking to see what's on everyone's plate, and I mean, I'm kind of disappointed. It was spaghetti. Everybody was eating spaghetti, and I was just like, oh, man, but wait. Upon closer inspection, no way. Is that cut up hot dogs in the spaghetti? Yes, it was. And that's why, for me, every March 25th, I celebrate Hot Dog Hat Trick Day.
Hot dogs, get your hot dogs here. Woohoo!
All right, that was utterly painless, I guess. Moving right along to my next and final segment. My special guest this week is television sportscaster Brian Anderson. Brian has been the play-by-play master for the Milwaukee Brewers for a number of years, but you might also recognize his voice and his wit across a number of televised sports, including PGA, which I think is golf, the NBA, NCAA, NFL, TNT, TBS, MLB, FOMO, and BTW, probably some other abbreviations, IDK. So let's get to know Brian Anderson in a little segment I like to call
Conversations with Dim Tillard.
The why, the who, what, when, the where, and the how.
Who does number two work for?
Ask me about my...
All that stuff I just told you, I don't want to go on the air, so we have to start over.
I know. Clap twice. Yeah, I'm going to edit out everything else, and we'll move forward. Everybody will wonder, what'd they talk about? But I'm here with sportscaster extraordinaire Brian Anderson. Brian, thanks for being on the show, man.
Oh, man. Who's this?
Don't worry. I get
what
that
was your name?
Tim Dillard.
Tim Dillard. What's your catchphrase on this podcast, by the way?
The number one most unneeded podcast.
And for that reason alone, that's why I want to come on this podcast.
Everyone's out there trying to do meaningful stuff in the world, and I'm like, nah, I'm out. There's too much of that.
Man, I am so honored to be with you, Dim Tillard. You're a legend in the making, and it's a pleasure. I couldn't have said yes fast enough when you asked me to be on your podcast, the most unneeded podcast in the world.
Yeah, well, I know. I can't believe you text me back. I put my phone down, didn't think, yeah, well, it'll be a couple weeks before he hits me back. But no, you've been great to me. We've known each other for a long time now. You've been with the Brewers. I've been with the Brewers. You're still with the Brewers. I'm at home putting together this amazing podcast. So with baseball moving forward and all this stuff going on, right now you're in Milwaukee. Take us through a day. What do you have to go through to get baseball to the people?
Yeah, we've started doing these Brewers.com webcasts, these live streams, which is just crazy to imagine we would ever broadcast inter-squad games. And you know how these things go. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason. We had a game the other day. There were only 8 position players, so there was no DH and no pitcher batting, so only 8 players hit. Quentin Berry played right field in a game that we had recently. He's a coach.
I did see that. I played with Quentin. I saw his dive. What a terrible dive.
Yeah. He still says he's the fastest player on the team, and I don't doubt him. He's got a World Series ring.
Yeah, all that flair, and he couldn't catch that ball. Unbelievable.
We need to have – I'd like to get – you're the T-shirt guy. I'd like to get some T-shirts printed up, though, because Quentin's been playing, but they won't let him hit. And I think we should actually get a T-shirt, let Quentin hit. I feel like that's an important cause that we could pursue here.
Yeah, I know a guy. I had him print up all these Texas Rangers shirts I've been wearing the last few years.
Those logos aren't – they belong to you as long as, you know, you just use them however you want.
Yeah, no copyright infringement. This is real. I have the rights.
So, yeah, we've been doing all these games, and it's been great to get back to work. For 4 months, I didn't do much. I did a golf event that was pretty popular called The Match. That was really the only – live sporting event that I did. That was Memorial Day with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. That was really fun. But other than that, I've been sitting around here doing exactly this. Like, we're on a Zoom call. I've been doing podcasts and a ton of Zoom stuff. The Brewers have actually been really good, as you know. You've been a part of it for a long time. But
yeah, we've met.
They're great on the social media aspect and the fan engagement aspect. So we've done virtual happy hours where we've had folks come in into the Zoom room, which holds, you know, a capacity of 1,000, and it's been filling up. So we've been hosting all kind of stuff, you know, with Hoffman and Robin Yount and Craig Council. It's been really good.
Yeah, I've been hosting just normal happy hour at my house.
Just by yourself with your
children.
Yeah,
just me. Just me trying to – kids go ride bikes. I'll be here.
Ah, man. Hey,
well, I was looking through all the stuff that you've done, right? Because you started out in AA in Texas.
That was my first job.
And then you've done PGA.
You're the only player that's been in the minor leagues longer than I was. But I had 9 years in the minor leagues, man. Nine years. So
yeah, I can only imagine.
I used to hold that over players' heads, you know, like, well, you haven't been in the minor leagues as long as I have, but then I met you. And so,
yeah. Yeah, and you can talk to me about the grind. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I can't. You and I have the grind.
Yeah, with my career, it's kind of been weird, but I look at yours and all the aspects of things that you can do. You've done golf, you've done basketball, baseball, obviously. And I mean, have you done hockey? What am I missing here?
I would never do hockey or soccer. Now, I did do the Big 12 Women's Soccer Championship, the Final Four, for a couple of years. And that was okay, but I had a really good analyst. So I did swimming and diving. I've done, you know, I started in high school football, doing high school football in Texas, which, you know, is a big deal.
Yeah.
So about the same time when I was in college, I was doing high school football. And then I got the San Antonio Missions job right out of college, which was in the Texas League back then. It's now the Brewers AAA affiliate. But
yep.
And then I thought it would be pretty easy. I was 22. I was the youngest broadcaster in minor league baseball or professional baseball. I was like, wow, this is cool. I'll be in the big leagues in a couple of years. I got an interview with the San Diego Padres after my first year. I was actually, they brought an apartment guide to the interview. So wow. I said, well, surely this is a good sign. They're giving me an apartment guide, looking at apartments in San Diego. And I figured, well, I'll just be on my way and be the, you know, the voice of the San Diego Padres at age 23. And then 9 years later, I was still in San Antonio, still calling games for the for the mission. So things didn't exactly work out on the timetable I was expecting, but everything worked out for a reason.
Yeah, but you still got that picture of that apartment.
Yeah, and this still
is my,
there.
This is my apartment that's waiting for me.
So I drew the circle on it and the highlighter.
One day. Oh, that's awesome. San Diego. That would have been a good, that would have been a fun time too with the players they had coming through there at that time.
Mid 90s. I mean, remember they went to the World Series in 98. So this interview happened prior to the 95 season. So they were actually, Bochy came into the mix. That's when Hoffman, you know, started to become the legend that he is in San Diego shortly thereafter when he got traded from the Marlins to the Padres. I mean, that would have been a great time to be a San Diego Padre, but not to be.
Yeah.
The good Lord had other plans for me, and thank goodness, because it all has culminated in this interview right now with you. I would have never have known you had I gotten that job. So now I feel like the purpose has been preserved anyway, and at least revealed to us.
Yeah, the higher power. Yeah, well, that's kind of the way, I mean, and baseball is just a metaphor for life, right? You have plans, you think it's going to go one way and it goes this way, but then you look back and you're like, wow, that led to this and that led to this. And you know, there's a lot of guys that don't really go through that. They get into the baseball world and they shoot straight to the top. And that's very rare, but that's who we compare ourselves to. But there's a lot of people that are like you and I that just have to stick it out and keep going. And anyway, that's kind of why I wanted to have you on here, because you've gone through that. You're, to me, one of the best in the business, if not the best, because if you're on TV, I'm watching.
Yeah, it made me cry, man.
You could be doing Scrabble, man. I'll be like, yeah, this is great. This is great. You just have the voice, you have the presence, and you have the smile. I mean, at any time, in any moment I ever saw you on the field, the dugout or anything, you know, I always came and talked to you because it's a positive thing. It's called kindness. And you show that to everybody out of respect. And I mean, how do you juggle all of that and still have the proper perspective?
Well, that's actually, I appreciate that. That means more than you know, because as I always say in this industry, you know, when we go work games, we call them gigs in our jobs, like musicians. So my phrase is the gig, but the relationships are what matter. And, you know, I think a big part of my path was, was my faith. And, you know, I got saved in baseball chapel. So baseball has really given me so much, not just my career, but it helped me find a way, a better way to live my life. And I remember being in baseball chapel with Ron Renicki, as a matter of fact, who became the Brewers manager and now the Boston Red Sox manager. He was the double-A manager of the San Antonio Missions back then. And he invited me, and that's when things kind of changed for me. I started just swapping the idea of me being in the center. And so then I didn't want to be in the center. I understood that that was probably tearing me up a little bit, because I was big into the comparative thinking. And I'll give you specific examples. You know, Matt Vasgersian, who we all know, a very good friend of mine, Matt and I were kind of at the same level. We were in the Texas League together. I had recommended him for a television gig that I was on, and I'd recommended that we bring him on. And they did. They let us do that. So we worked together. It was the Texas League Mexican League All-Star Game of 1994. Fernando Valenzuela pitched in that game, Tim. But anyway, so Matt actually used the demo tape from that game and bounced to a couple of bigger jobs. And then next thing you know, he's the voice of the Brewers on television. He got a big league job, and then MLB, then the Padres, then MLB Network, and his career just boom. Took off, and I was kind of stalled out. And I can remember just thinking, man, you know, the comparative thinking aspect was eating me alive. Why can't I get these breaks? Why can't I get, as opposed to just trying to be as good as you can on the air. And, you know, my older brother, Mike, is a Texas Rangers employee like you, and he's a scout, but he always used to say, played professionally, played in the major leagues briefly, but he always used to say, you know, I'd say, man, I can't believe I'm not getting a chance to either go to AAA or go to the big leagues as an announcer. And he said, just announce better. That whole phrase, you know, just pitch better, just play better.
Play better, yeah.
And, you know, for an announcer, that's like, well, it's so subjective, you know. It's hard to look at the numbers. But I think that's where – that was the switch and kind of in 96 when I kind of just flipped my mindset. Purpose-Driven Life, the book by Rick Warren, was one of the real first Christian books I ever read. And, you know, the first line in that book is, it's not about you. And that hit me in the face, you know. And I had actually read that line many times without thinking anything about it, but that particular moment, it's not about me, that really became kind of a mantra for me. And so that's the way I've lived my life ever since. And my broadcasting career took off, and I feel like my relationships took off, and just trying to serve others always. You know, there's a lot of Christian cliches in there that I don't like to overuse, but it's a cliche because it's true. And not to make this a preachy faith-based podcast, but it is why I am who I am, I believe.
Yeah, that's why I asked you, because I knew that's what you were going to say. Yeah, and they are cliches for a reason. But I mean, to me, it's not, you could almost put that in any aspect. It's not about you. Right. I'm in the bullpen with these young guys, and they're just like, man, how come I'm not getting called up, man? I should be called up. I should be doing this. I should be doing this. And I always say, you know, instead of your shoulds, you should have coulds. Could you be called up? Yeah. You know, could today be the day? It could, you know, and it kind of changes your thinking. Instead of a negative, like I should, you know, it's all about me. It's like, could it? Yeah. And you have the freedom to actually pay attention to other people around you. And to me, that's the people I love to be around. And you're one of those.
It releases that joy too. Like you're the symbol of this, you know, somebody who, if we just take the personality away and we're just looking at the baseball card, you know, you've accomplished a lot in your career. You made it to the major leagues. You know, you were a catcher turned pitcher. You've had a position change. You've kind of like absorbed a lot in this profession of baseball player, and you've succeeded. But yet you have this whole other thing you're doing and your whole other personality, and people love you for who you are, but you bring the joy every day, and you don't let, you know, many things or many outcomes steal that joy. And I think that's kind of where I want to live every day when I wake up. You know, we had Brent Suter on our broadcast the other day, and he's just full of energy. And I think people look at him and go like, what's he on? So he's not on anything. He's just, he loves life and he loves to serve people. And, you know, in one minute he's cheering on a teammate on a live mic on a broadcast. The next minute he's running down a foul ball that's going down the left field line because there are no ball boys and ball girls. And so he's just like, you're running down there. And it's not everybody's personality, but it is important to try to find your sweet spot. And I think when you take self out of it, you have a better pathway to the sweet spot of how I believe, and I know you believe, you should live your life.
Yeah. That's why I'm kind of like, you know, if it's everything's based on circumstances, this is going to be tough. I mean, whatever you're doing in life, it could be fun or terrible or whatever. But to me, it's like, I don't know, there's some joy in it. That's how we live. We're like, you know, everything going on in the world, it's like, man, that's really hard. But how can we spread some joy? And that's kind of what I came up with this podcast, because I just, you know, everyone and their mom had a podcast, and I thought, well, I should have one too.
But you should have one. Yeah, you should definitely have one. How is your mom's podcast?
Yeah, it's called 101 Ways to Make Hamburger Helper. So she doesn't listen. It's fine.
Hey, the one guy I had no worries about during the shutdown was Tim Dillard.
I'm built for quarantine, man.
It's, oh my God, like this is made for you right now. I mean, you're at home, you're with your family, you have an empty palate, you can just create. And I'm sure your wife is trying to find something for you to do that you'll leave the house at some point.
She went kayaking. She's like, I gotta get out of here, this is enough. So that's her big thing now, is just leaving. I think she's kayaking. I don't know, she may just be trying
she's
to
just carrying the kayak, just walking around the street.
She walks by my she walks by my podcast window here and then drops it and then
puts it on the rooftop, paddling along. Going.
Yeah, but that's what's interesting. Like I don't feel like I've been bored a day in my life. It's always like, all right, what's next? What am I going to do next?
Gift.
What's going on?
To wake up and to have that kind of laid out, like, okay, whatever comes, and it could be awful. I mean, we all get bad news. We all have to deal with things, and it's not saying you don't deal with those properly, but at the same time, there's a lot of really interesting things that come about in the relationships, and you're going to be put in the presence of somebody today, maybe that you didn't even know, and maybe they'll be your lifelong friend. And that's something I talk to my daughter about all the time. And you live that every day. That's why people love talking to you and seeing all the stuff you create, but just wanting to be around you so much.
I feel like you're interviewing me now. This is supposed to go the other way.
Yeah, that's right. You asked me the questions.
Yeah. So this morning I was nervous about today, cause I was like, oh man, I got BA on here. I don't want to screw this up, and I'm not very good at interviews. So that's why I call this segment of my podcast Conversations, because I just want it to be a conversation. But I do have a question. I woke up this morning really early. It was like 9:45. <I'm just kidding. laughs> But I had a question.
With the Roosters.
Like, yeah, yeah. All right. So you've done TNT, NBA, yes. NFL, PGA, CBS, all this, you know, all these little, I don't know, abbreviations for whatever it is. And I just have to ask you, and I think I speak for everybody here, what is the difference between TNT and TBS? Because for years, I'm flipping to the channels. They have the same movies, the same shows. Like,
right. It's a couple of clicks on the dial is the only difference.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it's still, they're both under the Turner's family. Now it's okay. Called Warner Media, actually. Wow. Warner Media, which just sold to AT&T. So AT&T is the parent company.
Sure.
Under that is Warner Media. Under Warner Media is Turner Family and Networks. That includes a department called Turner Sports, which is where I work. And sometimes sports air on TNT, TBS. If you watch the NCAA tournament, you may mm-hmm. see games on True TV. CBS is not a part of that, even though we're partners with CBS, corporate partners for the NCAA tournament. But generally, the way they've split it up, you know, it's not just a sports network, as you know. So TBS and TNT have a drama side. They create all kind of interesting content, comedies, yeah. talk shows, movies. That's what makes working for Warner Media and Turner Sports really unique, is that, you know, we may be doing a Conan promo, or we may be promoting another show that is not just a sports show. We're not promoting SportsCenter at 10 yeah. o'clock incessantly. You know, we're promoting, you know, Bones or whatever show is coming on. So the NBA is on TNT, MLB is on TBS. But it's all through the same people yeah. produce it, Turner Sports.
Wow, man, that was like the real answer. I thought,
yeah,
don't worry, nobody from Warner Media listens to this podcast, so you're fine.
Oh, they will now. Wait till I let them know.
TNT, we know drama. Another question I came up with this morning. I don't sleep that much. I don't know if that
these
comes
are just
across,
this morning. You came
yeah,
up
yeah, this
these?
Is just this morning. Okay. It's something about in quarantine with the long hair and the beard. Like I just, it's survival mode. But this is one of the questions I came up with. I actually wrote this one down. All right. So you just talked about all the sports that you do. You did the golf thing with Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and all your phone. Who's the most famous person you have in your phone number? I'll throw some names out there. You tell me if you have
their... You're top 10 for sure. Top 10.
Speed dial. I'm going to say some names. You say yes or no okay. if you have their phone number.
Okay.
All right. Christian Yelich.
No.
Oh, wow.
No.
Phil Mickelson.
No.
No?
No. Phil right. Mickelson didn't even talk to me the whole week we were down there until we made it on the air. And then yeah. then he was talking.
Fine. That sounds like Phil. That sounds like Phil.
I don't have those guys.
All right. What about, you know, Big Poppy?
No.
Ah, John Smoltz.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. What about yes. in basketball? What do you got? Like a Larry Bird?
No.
A Steph no, Curry?
I got Kevin McHale.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah. I think who's more famous in your opinion? Charles Barkley or Bob Uecker?
Oof. I mean, my opinion, it's got to be Uecker. But I've
met
Uecker.
I think Bob Uecker is like the most famous person I've ever known. I mean, when you think about it. Like,
yeah, and you have his phone number, right?
Yeah, I do. And I have Charles Barkley's. But I was just, yeah. that's probably, you know, those are probably the two guys that I could think of that, you know, when that phone comes up and it's one of those two, I'm just like, man, what kind of life is this I'm living?
Yeah, read me a Charles Barkley text.
I don't have my phone with me.
No. What's something
would,
that he
though,
texts
I would.
You about?
He's great. He's really, he's awesome, man. You guys would be fast friends.
Oh, I've heard that.
Because he's so, he's funny and positive. And so after the match, this golf event I did, it was me, Charles Barkley, and Trevor Immelman were in the booth. Trevor Immelman, a Masters champion, he won the 2008 Masters. And then we had Justin Thomas as an on-course announcer, who's a current player, one of the great players in the world. He's world-ranked number four, it was at that time, and Amanda Balaiones. That was our announcing. We actually had more announcers, five, than we did competitors, four. But after that all ended, and, you know, we raised $20 million for charities, for COVID relief funds. It was incredible. In one afternoon, $20 million. So anyway, after it was all said and done, this is like classic Charles Barkley. You get this group text message, and every word's misspelled, and there's like random capital letters and no punctuation, but it's just kind of like stream of consciousness and a bunch of spell check words. But he's just like, man, that was so great. Love you guys. You guys made me better. Thanks for carrying me. Thanks for, he's just like one of those guys when it's exactly the opposite. You know, Charles is the star and he is the guy that everybody wants to hear from. So he knows who he is, but he's so giving with his praise, and just like he's always commenting about the crew and producer, director, camera guys, just man, they out there in the rain. I thank those guys. And he's just super, super nice and just a team player and loves everybody, and you know, and then he's not afraid to speak his mind either. So he kept calling Tiger Woods Eldrick, which I don't think anybody in the world can get away with calling Tiger Woods Eldrick to his face besides Charles Barkley. So that was pretty classic as it is.
I was watching Space Jam just yesterday with the kids.
and then Euchre, you know, Euchre's another guy who you know well, but you get like Euchre's so funny, like you, but he'll send a picture of his hand, which has just been stung by a bee, and it's swollen. There's no context to it. You just get a picture of his swollen hand.
Yeah.
You wait for like the punchline. It's like, is this your hand? Yep. So he goes, I got in a fight with the bees. You should have seen the bees. You should have seen the other guy. So he punched him right out. But that's the kind of stuff that that makes me amazed at my life and and the people I get to engage with. And you're on that list.
Man, I got to step up my text game.
Text game's interesting. You know, Smoltz is a big time texter. So he won't answer a phone call. And he certainly, his voicemail box has been full for 15 years probably. But he'll send a photo. He'll send a picture. He's definitely on a strange level of humor that way. He will also leave you a message, even though he won't receive messages. He'll leave you a 3-minute message detailing every birdie from his round of golf that day. He'll go through it like every club. I was thinking 3-iron on this, but I went with a 4, and then, you know, I knocked it to 15 feet. And it, you're listening to this and it's like, but you know, there's some like really good punchline nuggets in there. So you kind of got to stick with it, but he buries them in the middle of a 3-minute voicemail.
I didn't even know voicemails lasted 3 minutes. That's crazy.
Yeah, maybe they don't. It feels like 10 minutes, but he goes through the whole thing.
Well, yeah. All right. So you mentioned guys that have done acting before. Have you been in a TV show or a movie, or have you aspirations to that?
I don't have aspirations to be an actor. I think I'd be terrible at it, but I have been in a movie. I'll see if I can jog your memory here. So it was actually a really good movie, Sideways.
Yes.
Do you remember the movie Sideways?
With Thomas Hayden Church?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. About wine. They're in the wine country.
Yep.
I think the girl from maybe Grey's Anatomy is in there.
That's it.
I've seen it once. Look at me. I'm a movies man.
So do you remember, there's two scenes where I'm in it, and I'm in it calling a golf tournament. Right in the beginning, it's on in the background. And then there's a scene in the middle of the movie when they're sitting in the hotel room, and he doesn't want to leave the hotel room, and he wants to sit and watch golf. And he's watching me. He's watching a golf tournament that I called. Now, I guess the golf channel who I was working for at that time gave him the footage. I got no money for it.
Nothing.
And didn't even know I was in it until my wife and I are actually at the movie theater watching that movie and going, hey, that's me. So that was actually pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad it was a really good movie, though. So that made me happy.
I think it won some awards, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I wasn't on that's the incredible. Credits list, I don't think.
You didn't make it? Yeah.
And then I did a television show that actually, I'll give you two stories about TV shows. This was called Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah.
It just came out recently. It's on Freeform, I believe it was. It's a Disney product. So anyway, I did all the basketball play-by-play scenes. Nice. In the so like these high school kids are, you know, they have superpowers or whatever, and they're kind of learning that. So anyway, one of the kids is a basketball player. And so we go and we're doing all the lines for the basketball game, and the lines are trash. I mean, things you would never say, like, he's dribbling again. Now he dribbles between his legs. Now he's dribbling left-handed. It's like,
to me, that sounds right.
And that was the script. So I'm reading the script and I'm talking, you know, the producer's in my ear, or the director actually, and he's kind of coaching me up. And so we do a run through it, right? And we go through it. And I'm telling, so imagine it's a high school basketball game. And I'm calling it like, and he gets a three off, it's good. And he's like, oh, no, no, way more energy. Way more energy. And I'm going, high school basketball. So let me try another one. And he gets off a three and it's good. No, no, way more energy. Like if this was an NBA finals. So I'm screaming, top of my lungs, it's good. He goes, yes. And so I'm just thinking, this is going to look so bad. You would never yell that loud in a high school basketball game, but we got finished with the whole script. And he goes, now, I just want to ask you, would you say any of those lines? And I said, no, I would never. No, I wouldn't say the play-by-play. I would never say that about a basketball game. He goes, oh, well, I can't give you writer's credit, but could you just do it your way? So I went back and did it my way. And
with no credit.
They pretty much used all of my stuff.
Yeah.
Except when he makes this shot and I'm screaming my head off like it is Damian Lillard's game-winning shot to send the Oklahoma City Thunder home. I mean, and it's like a high school game with nobody in the crowd and the whole bit. So I was a little embarrassed about that, but that's my acting story.
Yeah,
the other one I was going to tell you is, you remember Friday Night Lights, the series?
Yeah. Yeah, with that guy that no one knows his name, but he's in everything.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So that was actually shot in and around my hometown, and they wanted an announcer. And I had worked really hard when I was in the minor leagues just starting out. I had a kind of a Texas drawl, and I kind of talked like this, you know, a little drawl. Kind of talked out of the side of my mouth. This is the way I grew up talking, kind of like that, you know.
You were president for 8 years. So that's what I'm
saying. Yeah, that was like, it was a little bit of George, like 40, you know, a little 43 in there, maybe a dash of 41. So, but that's the way I talked. And I remember my agents, you know, telling me back in the day, like, look, man, you're going to have to, like, breathe and better breath support and get rid of your, you know, your kind of your redneck accent if you want to do this on a bigger stage. So I had worked hard for years to get rid of that, unlock my jaw, breathing exercises to what I sound like now. So then I got this audition to be the radio announcer for this high school football team in the series Friday Night Lights. And it was going to be really cool. So basically I was going to be paid $1,000 an episode every time the episode ran for the history of time. And I was thinking, well, maybe I didn't know if the show was any good or not, but as it's turned out, that would have been very lucrative.
Dang.
So
sign me up for that.
I do an audition over the phone, and the director, and I'm in my normal Brian Anderson voice, what you hear now, because I've been working all these years to be, this is me and welcome to Miller Park. And I'm like, you know, calling these plays, and there's just this silence at the end of it. And the director goes, you know, you sound like a professional broadcaster. I go, well, I am a professional broadcaster. And he goes, oh, no, we're looking for somebody a little more country than that. And we'll pass. I was like, wait, I got that. And he wouldn't let me do it. He goes, no, no, we're good. We need somebody older and somebody, you know, they wanted the whole, if you remember the series, you remember who they chose. It was kind of this older guy who, yeah, it's second down 15 for the, you know, it was like one of those deals. So I could have totally pulled that off, Tim, but
wow.
Man, again, I might not have never been here with you if I'd have gotten that gig.
I would have broke into Billy Bob with the block for Mox and throws deep to Tweeter. Yeah.
How many years has that show been airing in syndication?
I mean, yeah, it's streaming
it's probably on right now.
Yeah. I'm sure during quarantine, everyone's like, well, let's watch something that has 14 seasons. And like, oh, look at this. Man, I wish they'd done something about that announcer guy on the football games.
I get like a $30 check every year for that show, Cloak and Dagger, I was telling you about. It's like because it's airing in France or something. It was like $30.57.
Yeah. And in which currency?
So, oh, it's in U.S. currency.
U.S. So currency. You're winning. You're winning.
Yeah,
that's winning, awesome. Man. Yeah, there's so many. You know, you see broadcasters that are in movies all the time.
Yeah,
I think you'd be perfect for it.
I mean, think you and I need to just. How about you and I just do a movie and yeah. I'll play a broadcaster and you can play every other character.
And I'll play the out of work baseball player.
You have to have some sort of an idea of a sitcom in your mind. I bet you've been even writing something like that. Is that true?
Yeah. Well, when you introduced me to Ron Shelton, who directed Tin Cup and directed Bull Durham, I wasted no time telling him some of my ideas. I don't think I want to share them here because my two listeners could easily steal my ideas.
Yeah, you don't want to be giving that away, man.
Yeah,
just like that Texas Rangers logo on your shirt.
Yeah,
steal that.
Yeah, playing it close to the chest.
Ron Shelton came on one of our Brewers virtual happy hours and asked me about you, by the way.
Really?
He has a part for you.
What?
But he's trying to get it sold. He has actually written a part. I can't give you any more details than that. It's a baseball thing.
Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of a baseball movie but in the Caribbean, like Caribbean baseball.
Sure.
I can't tell you any more than that, but it's a comedy.
I played in Venezuela and Mexico.
I know. But he knew that. He goes, he's probably played winter ball, right? I go, oh, for sure he has. I didn't even know that. I just told him you had.
Awesome.
Because you played everywhere else.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I got a part written for him. If we can ever get it off the ground, I got a part written for him. Just know, man, it may never get made, but you are in a script right now for Ron Shelton.
Wow.
He wrote it for you.
I wonder how many scripts I'm in.
I know of one.
I know, yeah, at least one. Got that.
And yours.
And mine.
Did you write yourself in your
I write
own
myself in there. Yeah, I've written lots of stuff. You know, like I come up with an idea, I got to write it down. It took me years to figure out to write it down. And so we go to hotels. I used to get the little pen and paper out and I would have an idea and I'd jump up and I'd write it down and be, you know, completely dark. And then I'd wake up the next morning and it's written like a staircase, you know, down the side of the pad. Some of it's on the sheets. And I'm like, I need a better way. But that's when the smartphone came out. So I got a cell phone and I started making notes. Now I have, you know, thousands of notes on my phone, just of ideas. And of course, that's some of that type stuff. But you travel a lot, right? With all this going on. How many hotel points do you have?
I have a lot. I have a lot of, you know, they don't give it to, as you know, in the big leagues.
That was like
one of the biggest shocks of my life that we don't get airline mileage and hotel points. And, you know, that's what we're all about. When
traveling
we're not in the big
leagues. Yeah. Traveling secretaries flying to Mars every
shout
every
out to Dan Larea.
Yeah.
I'm in a lot of Marriott's and a lot of points, but it's funny being home all this time. You know, I haven't really traveled other than the one trip down to Florida. I haven't been anywhere in 4 months. I was doing an NBA game in San Antonio March 10th. I had flown to Indianapolis to do the Big Ten tournament, Big Ten basketball tournament. And that's when everything stopped. And I drove home from Indianapolis on March 12th after they canceled the Big Ten tournament. And I've been home ever since. Been very strange, and actually I'm kind of digging it. You know, I've been actually do some handy stuff around the house, and it's been kind of fun to be home. And but I'm ready to get back to work. It's going to get really busy here for me shortly. Baseball starting up. We're already broadcasting scrimmages. We've got an exhibition game next week, and then opening day is the 24th, and then I'll do about a month's worth of Brewers games, and then I'll be going to the bubble in Orlando to call the NBA playoffs. So
yeah, which I heard's on TNT.
It's about to get busy right after the NBA playoffs, which is strange to say because of the timing, but then the MLB postseason will start. So it's literally going to be, you know, probably 10 straight weeks of playoff sports, NBA, MLB, Brewers games.
You're going to have so much hotel soap. I mean,
well, we got to quarantine for 2 days. So when we go to the NBA bubble, a lot of those guys, a lot of our reporters even who are in the green zone, they've got to do the 10-day quarantine. So we're in the yellow zone. We only have a 2-day quarantine, so won't be so bad. They'll have little mouse ears on them, I guess, and everything.
I mean, I would take the toilet paper at every hotel. we don't know what's going to happen.
Hey, I'll bring you a stash, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, I travel a lot too, and I've come up with my own things that I do to kind of beat the travel, because it is tough. I mean, the turnaround, you're going to somewhere for a couple of days and then you're packing up, you're going somewhere else, and you don't ever get back to your home or your base of operations for, you know, several weeks. What is something that you do traveling that you've learned to beat it? Like, what is the one thing you're like, I'm not leaving the house without this, or I'm going to remember to do this? Mine's my pillow. I take my pillow everywhere.
Yeah. I don't take any bedding. Remember Jeff Suppan had the whole crate? Were you at the Brewers when that was going on? He literally had his own crate with all of his bedding and his pillows and his mints. I don't know if the mints were in there.
Well, you got 15 years in the show, you get a crate.
They rolled the whole crate. Yeah. It was amazing that it had his name on it. That was like rolled up to his room. Anyway.
That was part of his contract.
I don't take anything. It probably was, actually.
Yeah.
I think the way I beat it is by being completely versatile. Like, I'm that way with golf clubs. So remember when all the club fitting rage, which is still going on, but back when it first started, I got fitted for clubs. But then I go on the road and I'd rent clubs and they'd be totally whacked. So I said, nope, I'm going standard so I can go use rental clubs and not be any different. And that's basically how I've operated every other aspect standard of my travel life. I just, whatever they lay out for me, I'm fine. Beds don't bother me. Pillows don't bother me. Whatever shampoo they have, I'll use. Whatever soap's available, I'll use. I'll get toothpaste and a toothbrush from the front desk. I try to just show up and say, okay, what do you have for me, Marriott? What do you have for me, Weston?
You're the guy the little sign by the sink that's like, oh, did you forget something? You read it and you go, I did.
I check off all the boxes, all the front desks. Excuse me, do you have those pair of New Balance shoes I could borrow?
And I saw the sign by the faucet. Yeah.
Yeah, there's people working out. And no, I just try to be just completely adaptable. And
like a chameleon.
Other than the clothes I bring, obviously. That's the way I beat it, is I want to say, okay, this is going to be the Fairmont experience for this, for these 3 days, you know, or whatever, wherever we are. That's what I do, man. Then try to explore around the hotel and, okay, if I was living here, where would I go? Where do people go? And then you talk to the bellman or you talk to the concierge and you talk to people around to say, okay, because, you know, we're the same. We don't want to just always go to the chains. I like going to places like the Cherry Diner in Pittsburgh, where nobody knows about and you would never step foot in if you weren't from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, just like Taco Bell. Yeah.
What town is that in, the Taco Bell? Yeah. I forgot.
I mean, there's one right down the street from here. I think they put it in.
Oh, that must be the only one.
Yeah, it is.
Must be the only one. Which, again, like brings the toilet paper discussion back into full circle. Yeah. No wonder you're so...
Oh, man, that's...
No wonder that's a priority for you, Tim. Yeah. I can understand it now.
No, I'm like you. We go to cities and I walk around. The problem is I've been in the Pacific Coast League in AAA for the better part of 15 years, and so I've been everywhere. So I have to find new places to go. But, yeah, there's a place called Zombie Burger in Des Moines, Iowa, that I like to go to. So you go to these places and you explore. And were you always like that, or were there times where you're like, no, I'm not going anywhere?
No, I think I love to travel. My dad was basically a traveling salesman. He had his own company, but part of his, when he started his own company, and he's the great American dream, you know, he started his own and did really well ultimately. But when he was grinding, I was kind of in my junior high school age when he was grinding with this, and he would travel down to Houston every week. And, you know, that was his attitude. And I just adopted that. So sometimes, believe it or not, and my wife would attest to this, I'm a little more uncomfortable at home than I am on the road. And when you come off a season, that takes some getting used to, you know. So I feel very anxious at home, not because I'm anxious to be around my family, but it's just, I don't know, this stuff's mine now. And I don't know, there's something about like, hey, that lamp's broken. I didn't break it. They'll have to fix that. Not my problem. You know, I get home and then there's like, oh, the water softener's out. And I mean, we need to paint. And now the deck needs stripping. And it's like, wow.
Light bulbs. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And you're calling zero on your house phone. You're like, yeah, the front desk is not.
This jack's not working.
Yeah, you are the front desk.
I get very intimidated about being home because, you know, the list of things that could go wrong. So I think that just growing up the way I did, my dad being on the road and then traveling with him, he always let us come on the road. And, you know, he would go off and work all day. He would just leave me in the hotel, and which was great for me. People say, well, that's kind of child abusey. And I was like, actually not. I mean, I had the brain of the pool. He always was dialed into, you know, the servers and the restaurants and the, you know, he knew everybody. And he would say, hey, my son's going to be around. And they would all see me, and no telling how much work he did to kind of lay the groundwork. Hey, if you see my kid walking around, just, you know, he's going to leave his key. He's going to, so I had full reign of the place. And so I think that kind of was ingrained in me from a young age. And when I got on in this life, you know, spending so many years in the minor leagues, when you finally get the big league job, man, it was like a carnival every day. You know, you're in these big cities, and it's just it's like a scene out of Great Gatsby in my mind, because I had been in the minor league so long, staying at awful hotels like the Markham Inn in Little Rock, which was $15 a night.
$15 a night?
That's not a joke. $15 a night. There was a room with no windows.
What kind of hotel does that?
Oh, and La Quinta, you know, like we always say in our minor league lines, where, you know what La Quinta means, right? It means Denny's next door. So, you know, the La Quinta and the Denny's, that was always our thing. Quality Inn in El Paso. And so, yeah, I could name them all. You know, we got upgraded one year to the Holiday Inn. We thought we made it. You know, we thought the actual room, the door to the room didn't go to the outside. It was actually inside a building. And so that's when I got to the big leagues, man, it was just like, wow, I'm going to see all these cities and explore all this. And I still feel that way. I mean, it's exhausting at times to travel so much, but at the same time, I really enjoy just tapping into different cultures. You know, I'm a big golfer. I love exploring golf around whatever city we go to. So I'm totally in my element on the road.
Yeah, you probably have a crate full of golf clubs when you travel.
No crates.
No, I'm just kidding.
No crates.
No, I remember, I mean, going to some of those hotels, you probably had a real key. Remember those? Like a real metal key?
Oh, for sure.
And if you lost it, it was like $25. Yeah, I bring that up every once in a while when I'm sitting around with these young guys, and they're like, you mean like a key? And I'm like, yeah, like a key.
Real key. Gold key with a big fat number on it. Yeah. I remember losing a key. So back in my early minor league days, I played college baseball, and when I graduated, I wasn't good enough to play professionally, but I was a decent catcher and college baseball player. So when I started with the missions, I was making no money. I made $25 a game to call the games, but wow, I made more money throwing batting practice. I threw two groups of BP a day, which in the Texas heat, that's workhorse level.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And then I pulled bags and I caught bullpens. So I would catch a bullpen. When we go on the road, I got $1 a bag. So I was like pulling bags off the bus. I was doing everything. So I remember losing my key. I don't remember where we were, Wichita or somewhere. I remember losing my key, and it was $20 to replace the key. And I was like, well, I guess I'm throwing BP for free today.
Oh man, that's
throwing
a big
BP for free.
Yeah, that's like me. I told the Rangers, I was like, hey man, I want to be your Swiss Army knife during this whole summer camp. I was like, I'll pitch. I'll shag. I'll do the bucket. I'll throw BP. I'll be, you know, bullpen catcher.
Broadcasting.
Yeah. But the number I called wasn't in service. I don't know what happened there, but
I feel responsible for you being a Texas Ranger. You know that.
I do a little bit.
Because my brother, who works for the Rangers and is in the scouting department, assistant to the GM, he is a huge fan of yours. And then he started, you know, talking to all of his scout friends. And then there's, you know, those guys have their own little clique. And so they love you as a person. They, and you're effective too. You had a great year for them last year. And man, they really pushed hard. They're like, we got to give this guy a shot to just be in our organization. He lives in Nashville. And man, every time you did something, they would send me a note. Hey man, your boy Tim is killing it. He's perfect. He's great for our young guys, but he's also pitching really well. And I thought you were going to get called up last year.
I know. I'll text Mike.
I think it was close.
Well, they did tell me. They're like, you know, your name was in the conversations, but you know, I can't control that stuff. I tell the guys, I'm like, because they would come in. Guys would come in and be like, how are you still here? Every day they walk in the field, like, how are you still here? You know, they could call you up. You could do something. And I'm just like, man, that's not for me to decide. But now I know who does decide that, and that's Brother Mike Anderson. So
he does it actually, but he was pushing. I guarantee you, he was in your court. But man, I was so happy to see you have success, and there's no reason why you couldn't keep going. You're gonna have basically a year off. You're gonna come back throwing rockets next year.
Arm feels good. I've been striking out my kid in the backyard for
like he sucks months. Though he's terrible.
yeah I was like, I could hit that when I was 11, but
you know, you're not me. I'm just saying.
But yeah, someone asked me the other day, what do you think about like the laser strike zone, you know, like if you had robots calling the actual strike zone? I was like, if we get robots for the strike zone, I'll pitch for another 10 years. Because
totally.
The way, you know, I'm sidearm and I throw all this weird stuff, and you know, I'm usually screaming at an umpire. But yeah, that's part of it.
Plus, your hacking skills, like you could totally manipulate the strike zone to your own benefit. Nobody would even know the way. I mean, you're so skilled at like breaking into computer programs.
Yeah. A lot of young guys get caught up in just baseball. And years ago, I thought I was done with baseball in 2013. I thought that was it. I thought I'd played my last game. Mm-hmm. So I started doing everything else. I started figuring out like how to write a blog or how to do Twitter, you know, this kind of stuff, podcast type stuff, videos in the clubhouse. Like I just thought the next step might have to do with some sort of graphic design or editing or something like that. So I kind of started trying to polish those so maybe that would lead to something after baseball. But then I kept getting a baseball job. So
it's funny, right? You think I'm going to do all this stuff to prepare for my life after baseball, but now my baseball is keeping me from doing all these things that I've been preparing for life after baseball. And I could be making millions of dollars being an entertainer, but I'm still going to play baseball. That's kind of where I see you right now.
Yeah, sign me up.
But
I need,
you know what?
Residuals.
You play as long as you can. And we've had this conversation, but your gift to this world is in many areas, but playing baseball, that won't be there forever. So
yeah,
I love that you still play. And there's a New York Times bestseller book in there for you one day. And obviously we're always ready to have you on Brewers television. I mean, that's like an open invitation, and I know fans would love that. And you could do so much in this industry. You're to me, you're kind of like the young version of Bob Uecker, like the same path Bob Uecker went on. I could totally see that for you as well.
Well, being around the Brewers so long, seeing you, I like to observe, you know, who's the best in the business and how are they doing it? And so when I actually got called up with the Brewers, I guess in 2018, to do a few games when the Brewers played the Reds, where I wore a suit. If you remember that, that was rare.
I don't remember you being there actually.
Oh yeah.
No, thanks. Of course. You shaved and you wore a suit.
I know. It'll never happen again. But I think we had these conference calls and you brought up like the third game, the last game. And you were like, hey, everybody, we're about to leave. And you go, hey, let's give Tim his own little segment. And you wanted me to break down Gio Gonzalez's mechanics. And I was like, what am I doing? And you're like, oh yeah, you can do it. But I never even thought about what that looked like. I didn't even know that existed. And so next thing I know, a few hours later, here I am, you know, I'm like, oh, he keeps his changeup down and his fastball up, you know, and that's the idea. You were allowing me to actually experience some of the stuff that you guys do. I mean, I haven't been to school in that regard. I don't know what to do. I've been watching, but I haven't been able to do it. And you allowed me to do that stuff. So anyway, I appreciate it, man. I watch.
Well, of course, but it's not because, you know, that I'm trying to be friendly either. It's because you have real talent. Like it's so in you. And, you know, you could take journalism or communications classes for years and still not achieve and get in a position where you are. Like there's just things you just know innately, inherently. There's a whole book out. My agent actually wrote a book, Don't Take Yes for an Answer. And he talks about a lot of this. And I helped him with the book. But the point is that there are people who are genuine. There are people who can deliver serious baseball analysis like you and also can be really funny. And they can coexist. Bob Uecker never took a communications class in his life, but he's one of the greatest communicators in the history of the world.
Yeah.
The way he speaks with just warmth and his voice, and you know, he's completely engaged and he fully is in the moment. His situational awareness, you know, baseball players already have a heightened situational awareness just because they're always being pranked and joked and everybody, you know, you gotta have thick skin. So I just think you know, that's what we all see in you, and we certainly see that in like a guy like Brent Suter. But yeah, man, I think your career is a phenomenal story, and it'll keep going, and we'll always have a spot for you in Milwaukee for sure.
No, I appreciate that. And if you have a phone number to Disney, let me know.
I will.
We'll turn it into a story.
I'll see what I can find there. We could get you a credential. That'd be a monster coup if we could get you in.
The first time I got a credential pass for the Brewers media, I took like 40 photos of that.
I remember that.
It's on my shelf. It's right here. Oh yeah, it was great.
You're definitely kind of trending over to the dark side of media.
Oh no. Well, hey, BA, thanks, man. I appreciate you being on here. I told you it would only take 5 minutes, and yeah.
You lied again.
I lied again. You knew that coming.
But nobody believed it'd take 5 minutes. Yeah, keep doing what you're doing, man. We love you. It's always great to see your stuff pop up. We get great laughs, and I feel like we say your name on our broadcast more than any player we currently have.
Yeah, so, sounds like it's a bet gone wrong. No, I appreciate
you're
it.
You're always a Brewer, man.
Yeah.
Fist pump. Boom.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Talk to you soon, man. Buddy. He is definitely one of the best in broadcasting. Hey, be sure to follow Brian Anderson on Twitter and Instagram at BAndersonPXP. That'll do it for the 11Z's episode of the Inner Monologue of Dim Tillard. If you have questions or comments, please contact me on any of my social media, and I'd be happy to respond to you whenever I want to. And yes, please take 10 seconds to give a 5-star rating if you're on Apple Podcasts, and also an additional 30 seconds to write a stellar review. Lie through your teeth if you have them, because this show really could use it for some reason. And if you're looking for Dim Tillard gifts for the someone in your life that you kind of like or only slightly hate, go to dimtillard.com and click on the tab labeled Buy My Crap. My sponsors this week are Amazon, Microsoft, AT&T, ExxonMobil, Taco Bell, Starbucks, and of course, Disney. That's it. And thanks again for listening to the number one most unneeded podcast, The Inner Monologue of Dim Tillard.
You were just listening to The Inner Monologue of Dim Tillard.